okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 118 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and with me on the line, once again, from Melbourne via Skype, Mr. Shelton Muller. How are you?
Morning, mate. I'm well. I'm sure that all our listeners thought, ah, oh, flash in the pan return. You know, it's sort of like Britney Spears, you know. Flash in the pan, return,
and then fade away again.
You know, sorry to all the Britney fans out there, and I'm sure that there are thousands of Shutters Inc. listeners probably thinking, you can't talk that way about our Britney.
Mate, there are more Shutters Inc. fans than there are Britney fans.
Probably, at this stage. And I don't know whether the Britney fans would have the intelligence to actually listen to what we're talking about here in photography. I mean, if they're listening to Britney Spears, please, you know. By the way, hello, Britney. I hope your photography's going well. And have you been, Bruce?
Mate, pretty good. And yourself?
Yeah, really well. Just very busy, which is, of course, why, everybody, we haven't been able to do a podcast for a couple of weeks. So
yeah,
sorry about
that. I did want to say to people, you know, don't think that this is 2008 revisited, because it's not. It just happened to be 2 weeks back to back where, you know, something came up. It was either me or it was Shelton. And it just, yeah, conspired against us.
Yep.
But no, we're not going to fade off like we did last year. So,
no, absolutely not.
We are. So what are we going to talk about?
Well, I've got a couple of emails to talk about.
Cool.
And then I want to talk about my mum.
Okay, fair enough.
Or as the Americans would say, my mom.
Yep.
And we do have the odd American listener, so I suppose. Yeah. Do I have to go? Do I have to translate?
All American listeners are odd, mate.
Yeah.
Just kidding, guys.
Hey, he said that, not me.
For once,
all
it
right.
was me.
I love you all, okay? All right. Billy Joe and Bobby Sue and Betty Jane. I love you all. All right. Haven't heard too much from our American listeners, though.
We
so, you know, and
I want to
again,
hear from Bob Fisher. Bob, you must have moved to Australia by now, and yet we haven't heard from you, mate. So,
yeah.
What's the story?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Come on, Bob. Come on. You know, get
anyway.
It on. You want to hear? Yeah.
So, anyway, what emails have we got?
Well, the first one, I've got an email from across the pond. So, sorry, here I am saying that we're not getting many emails from, you know, our across the pond listeners. But here's one from Roy Booth. Hello, Roy. Thank you very much for sending this image. It says, hi, guys. Thought I'd just send you a snap. Complete no-notice shot. Was looking the other way, heard a noise, spun around, and this was coming toward me. Keep the podcast coming. And then obviously this is a resized JPEG is what he says. Well, having a look at it, if that's your spun around and shot, I'd be very, very proud of that,
yeah,
Roy.
Yeah, he did very well.
Are we going to put this up on the Audio To You website?
Definitely.
It's fantastic. I think what I would do with it in post, Roy, is just a thought, is create another layer, a duplicate layer rather, so Control J or Apple J, I think it is, to make a duplicate layer in Photoshop. And then in the blend modes, go multiply.
Yeah.
Just to give it that little bit of, just to, you know, make the
more saturation
and make the blacks, you know, the water a little more dark, a little darker, and the swan will stand out against it. Now, it may be a bit strong, so you bring your opacity down between the two layers to just see how, to get it to a point where you like it, and I think it would be really killer. I mean, it's a lovely shot as it is. You just got to be so proud of that. But try doing that, Roy, and you know, I think it will even stand out more. So I just thought I'd make that suggestion while it was on my mind. But that's a great shot, and thank you so much for sending that through. I love it when it photographs, because it's just a great way of sharing our images. So thank you very much for that. A couple of others, which we'll quickly run through. And let me see. I have one here from David Zach, and another one from good old Mark Loader from Perth.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. You want me to do Mark's first?
Oh, no. Leave the best till last.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
Against David Zach's email. It's just Mark Loader is always good for a laugh. So.
All right, Dave, if you want to be up front, mate, you've got to put in a Mark Loader kind of joke, all right? Dave, you've got some interesting questions here. Shelton, sorry it took me so long. I said I would be interested in an online tutorial if you offered it. You did. I didn't until just now. He's talking about signing up to 5-Minute Photographer. And I've noticed you're down there, Dave, at 5 Minute Photographer. Keep joining the forums and keep watching the videos. It's really going well, actually, because it's got a nice combination of videos, and the forum on it is really friendly.
Yeah.
And that's nice for a forum, because a lot of photography forums are very unfriendly, I've noticed.
Right.
People, flaming each other and critiquing each other very harshly and that kind of thing. And that's the last thing you want. Photography is not about that kind of talk. It really isn't. It should be inspiring and encouraging. And the fraternity of photographers that, we are, we should be there for each other rather than against each other.
Yep.
So we find that down there at 5 Minute Photographer. I'm sure you find that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's nice to have you there, David. He says, hey, great site you have here. Wow, I noticed one typo on your front page. Thank you, Dave. We did actually, I think, fix that. And also the US dollar conversion, we fixed that too. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. He then goes on to say, hey, I have a wedding coming up in March. Not just any wedding, my sister's. Man, am I nervous. She's getting married on a beach in Clearwater, Florida. I will be bringing my Nikon D50, 12-24, and a 105mm. I have an SB800 and plan to use my flash bracket or my voice-activated light stand. Ha! Use a voice-activated light stand, mate. The off-camera flash stuff on a wedding is just awesome. I was going to shoot just RAW so I could get the most pictures on the card, but since my Mac is having an issue lately trying to open and process pictures in Nikon Capture NX...
Did he mean to say I was going to shoot just JPEG to get the most images on a card? Because RAW won't give you the most images on the card. It'll give you the least.
Yes. I was thinking that myself.
Yeah, okay.
It'll give you the least. So I think that's what you meant. But then he goes on to say, I might just go back to shooting RAW and JPEG fine and use Adobe Elements. Any camera settings for color space or whatnot that I should have set, I would be all ears. I'm going to plow through your 5 minute videos for more info. You do that, Dave. They're great. I am not bringing a laptop with me because I will be leaving for Puerto Rico the day after her wedding. A trip I won from work for being some kind of good employee or something. Well, as far as backing up pictures, I've purchased a hyperdrive space to back up memory cards to. I do not plan on writing over any cards until I get back. Good idea. I just want to have a second source for my files without having a laptop with me. So he basically, then he goes on to say, while I'm in Puerto Rico, I signed up for a rainforest tour. I really need to figure out what lens I want to put on because I have no intention of swapping lenses in a damp, humid place. Any suggestions or recommendations I should do? Big Ziploc bag? Well, I know you're busy. Hopefully I'll hear from you before March 26th. There you go.
Ooh, we should just get it in.
Yeah, we'll get it in. So glad you and Bruce are back on the Shutter Zinc podcast. I have 15 minutes to burn, and I know what I'm going to spend them on. Down at 5 Minute Photographer. Great job indeed. I'm going to enjoy this site very much. Well, welcome, Dave. Welcome to 5 Minute Photographer. It's nice to have you there. Let's go back to your first question. If I'm shooting a wedding, I usually shoot in RAW and JPEG. But then, thanks to SanDisk, who supplied me with a dozen 8 and 4 gig cards before I went to Patagonia, I have plenty of cards. So all you really need to do is buy the extra hard drive space. And let's face it, that's getting really cheap now. I mean, down at...
tell me about it.
Yeah, I know. The a local retailer had a terabyte for $149, which
Whoa.
In Australia, is really good. A terabyte was $1,000, something like that. So, for $149, you can buy a terabyte drive now. So you just stack them up, baby. And at that price. So look, I would shoot in RAW and JPEG and perhaps sort out what the issue is with your Mac and Nikon Capture. Remembering, of course, that Lightroom, to have a program that you're able to just, drag and drop your RAW files in, set up, batches of, however many, 10, 20, 50 images, make them all look the same, add your vignettes, your color saturations, your sharpening, and then just plow through a wedding is fantastic. I would certainly suggest shooting RAW and JPEG fine simultaneously because sometimes, you get an image straight out of the camera in a JPEG fine, you store that separately or you use them to upload or, to send to your client to whet their appetite in an email. Here's a picture from your wedding, thought you'd like this. You can do that the day after, because they're no doubt going to check their emails. So, as you know, those kinds of things are great ideas. But I would definitely shoot in RAW and JPEG if you possibly can, if you've got the space on your cards to do so. As for the shooting with your cards, I agree, you should buy as many, because I use them as film. When I'm away, I take as many cards with me. I just shoot, and then when I come back, I put them all on, you know, disk and hard drive. So I think that's a great idea too. But mind you, you do have the little portable unit that you can use to store while you're away. But I think it's great to have as many cards as possible as well.
Now, before you go further on with answering David's questions, mm-hmm. just before you and I started recording, you were asking me, did I have anything I wanted to bring up? And I said, there was something kicking around in my head the other day, and I couldn't think what it was at the time, but I'm sure it would come to me. This is another one of those workflow-related questions, and I'm bringing it up now because it seems like it's also partially relevant to David's questions. Mm-hmm. One thing I have noticed in the photography magazines that I read is that there appears to be quite a leaning towards renaming the photographs that you pull out of your camera with, you know, either your name as the photographer and the date and the location and things like that. And what I don't understand is, why would you go to the effort of renaming the actual files, whether they're RAW or JPEG is irrelevant, when most of us are using some sort of cataloging software, whether it be Lightroom on PC or Mac or Aperture on the Mac or whatever, which will allow you to add all the metadata that you can throw a stick at related to each of those photographs. So what, you know, do you, Shelton Muller, professional photographer, do you bother renaming your images, or do you just leave the default camera-generated file names as they are and then just use your metadata as a way of then finding an image, you know, 6-12 months later?
Yeah, I usually sometimes I will rename them.
But don't you put them in a folder that's called that?
Yes, I do as well. But if in case you're moving the files around, for instance, with regard to say my 5-minute photography, 5-minute photographer website, I'm constantly building new tutorials for that. Sure. So I have a directory called 5-minute photographer. And then it has subdirectories for each different, you know, subject. So I might be moving folders and files around. It might be easier for me to search for them if indeed I don't know where the hell they are, if I know that they're named after a particular wedding or after a particular event or place or something like that. So maybe I will use different search methods to find it. I'm possibly the worst person to ask because, you see, I'm a photographer, which makes makes me perhaps creative, but not that particularly well organized.
Not good at housekeeping, right?
Not good. I'm not brilliant at housekeeping, so I'm perhaps the worst person to ask. I tell you who you would ask, and that's our old friend Richard Annable, actually a tutorial as a guest on 5-Minute Photographer about this very subject.
Oh, okay.
But so he will rename in Lightroom as he's batching through. Not only that, but you know, he will also put it into a directory. Considering that the names that come out of cameras are fairly generic, you know, DSC, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
It means that every file that you pull out of a camera is going to be called DSC something or another. Yeah. So I would have no problem renaming them because the DSC serves you little purpose. You may as well, while you're in Lightroom or whatever batching, you know, you're using, rename the thing according to where the hell you were at the time or what you were doing or whose wedding it is or, you know, whatever. I don't think that's a problem at all. But
I'm not saying it's a problem. It just seemed to me like an unnecessary step. You know, obviously everyone has their own workflow and everyone will work out, you know, their own personalized workflow that works for them. My personal workflow is that when I import the images from the compact flash card to my hard drive via Lightroom, I will tell Lightroom, import these to a new folder, and I will give the folder a name with, you know, an 8-digit date field, so 4 digits for the year, 2 digits for the month, 2 digits for the day, followed by a description of what that shoot was. But I will then leave the camera-generated file names as they are, because I figure I can always search the folders if I'm looking for a particular shoot. And after I've imported them, I'm going to add metadata to those photos anyway. So from within Lightroom, I can always search for the images without having to be concerned about what the file name is. So that's why it just seemed to me like, you know, if you've got a reasonable sort of, you know, housekeeping slash workflow in process, then, you know, and you've added metadata to your images, I just didn't understand why you would bother renaming the files themselves, because most of the information that you're going to want is going to be in the metadata.
Yeah, maybe it's a case of, I just want to use the Windows search or something like
that. Okay.
Or you just prefer the thing to be called something other than DSC4927.
Okay.
Or, I don't know, you know, like I said, you're probably asking the worst person. Here I am, okay, you're supposed to be the guru, the guy, you know, and I'm just going,
I'm sure the people who pay you to shoot their weddings are more interested in your ability with the shutter than it is with the Windows operating system. So,
yeah, perhaps so. But, you know, look, here's an opportunity for you to come right back at us as listeners and say, you know, this is why I do it. Yeah. And this is how, if I'm searching for an image, it helps me. So by all means, come back to me particularly with any housekeeping ideas, because I'm all ears when it comes to that. I really am. But look, and Richard, you know, I know you're out there listening, man. So come back to us with your housekeeping techniques as well, because, you know, comments. Right. Oh, sorry. We're not finished with you, David, are we? Let's go back to let's go back to his email. He says, while I'm in Puerto Rico, because there's only one way you can actually say that. While I'm in Puerto Rico, I signed up for a rainforest tour. I really need to figure out what lens I want to put on, because I have no intention of swapping lenses in a damp, humid place. Any suggestions or recommendations? Okay, I was
18-72.8.
Yeah, if you've got one. He's got a 12-24 in his kit, and that's a beautiful, beautiful lens. If you're doing a rainforest tour, I would suggest that maybe that might be the lens, depending on how close you can actually get to the
under. Did he say it was a high-speed lens? Like, is it 2.8 across the range?
No, it's not, actually. The 12-24, I think, is a 3.5 to 4.5 or something like that. I can't remember. Not owning one, I can't remember.
Sure.
But it possibly might be the lens you'll want to consider. Also, you know, try and make sure that the day that you overcast, rainforest on a sunny day is just shocking to photograph. It's too mottled, the light is too hard, the detail is shot. So, you know, hopefully if you wake up in the morning and it's a bit cloudy, you just go, yes, and you'll be fine. But if it's a beautiful sunny day, and I imagine you're going to be starting to, March? It could be. Could be a problem, but anyway, you can't do anything about the day you're booked in on the tour, but maybe try and get there in early morning or late afternoon or something like that, when the light's a little softer. Don't do the midday tour, and perhaps the 12-24 would be your best bet, because it gives you all those wide angle options for looking up at the ferns and, you know, getting great sweeping scapes of the rainforest itself. I think if that was looking at your lens collection, primes, beautiful, I love a good prime, but, you know, they'll limit you to what you can do. If the 105 is a micro, well, have that handy, and if you are going to risk changing lenses, and you know what, I would certainly change lenses, no problems. Just make it quick, you know, and just get that, you know, if you've got the 105 and it's a micro and you come across a drip of water hanging off the end of a mushroom or something, take a photograph of it with the micro lens. But otherwise, the 12-24 would be the lens of choice for me. So hope that helps you, Dave. And you know what? When you do get back from shooting this wedding, mate, definitely go let us see some photographs. The other thing that I'd suggest, Dave, is that before you go and shoot this wedding, you download all the wedding series that we did. You and I were talking about this before we recorded. Download the entire wedding series and just have a listen to them, because we've been finding, and people have been commenting to you, Bruce, that in our period of inactivity, they would often go back and listen to episodes that we did. Were very, very popular.
Yep.
So, and still prove to be, there are people going back and listening to them. And in fact, I'm contemplating doing an entire wedding photography series on 5-Minute Photographer, step by step. So you might want to listen to that. And while we're on this subject, that series has proven to be very popular. You really all enjoyed that so much. If there's a series you would like us to reinitiate, perhaps how to shoot this or how to shoot that, that you would like us to talk about in detail over a certain amount of weeks, let us know what subject that would be, And, you know, we'll certainly do it because that's what we're here for. We're here for you. So if there's, you know, something that you want us to do, let us know. Sure. All right. Let me, there's a couple of others here that we've got from Jim Rock.
Okay.
Talking about my hard drive problems. You remember that we were...
Oh, yes. How did you go with that?
I haven't had a chance to follow it through yet because we've been so busy we haven't even been able to do a podcast. So
yeah, okay.
He says, if the pictures were fairly recent or if the memory card has not been used much, try using a recovery program on that. Well, it's not the memory card, thanks, Jim. It's actually the hard drive. So, yeah, thank you, though. I am aware of that, but I will have a look. He says, I use a free program from www.recuva.com. If not that, I heard about a company in the Midwest, United States, that recovers drives for a reasonable price. They were mentioned in another podcast I frequent. Ha, can you imagine? He has the gall.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, he has the gall to say that he listens to other podcasts. I mean, you know, please. Why when you've got this one? I mean, please. All right, he says, if you are interested, email me and I will track them down. Maybe you can do a little cross-promoting at a super price. I will, Jim, I will track you down and kill you. No, I mean, I will email you and ask about this company. So, you know, sounds like an interesting idea. Very much for that. And, of course, one from Jim, also in Gettysburg. I'd love to see Gettysburg. I think this is the same Jim. It's another Jim. Yeah, it's Jim Rock. There you go. Thank you again, Jim. It's nice to get so many emails from one person. Thank you. He says, I'm a long-time listener. Well, not so much this past year. Yeah, thank you, Jim. Ha, ha.
Rub it in.
Okay. And I am glad to see you guys have your priorities back in line. By the way, I have a bit of a sarcastic side. Oh, really? Gee. Seriously, I was thrilled to see your podcast pop back up in my podcast feed program. I learned so much from you both, even though I only have a Pentax K100D. Don't ever talk about your camera as being an only. All right? It's just my, you know, because it's a camera, it takes pictures, and that's good enough. First things first, Police Squad and all the Naked Gun movies are hilarious. Okay, yes, thank you. Sheldon has excellent taste in sophisticated movie humor, and why I enjoy listening to your podcast so much. Secondly, I have a suggestion for your beginner shooting in manual mode. You may remember, Bruce, that we were talking about my friend who came on the workshop and didn't know how to work her camera manually. She didn't know what shutter speed to set, you know, or how to adjust her camera to make the picture turn out. Maybe the girl you mentioned and your other listeners wanting to try it should do this. Shoot a picture in auto mode, then look at the picture info and get the ISO, shutter speed, and aperture settings. Use that as a baseline to start playing. Set your camera like the auto mode info, then play with the controls and compare the results. Surely that is a good way to start. Oh, and I will stop calling you Shirley. Yes. I thought an airplane reference would be a good sign-off. In Australia, we know that movie is Flying High.
Yeah.
Shirley, you can't be serious. I'm deadly serious. Don't call me Shirley. Yes. So, thanks, Jim. Actually, I will suggest that to her. The problem was for her that she just couldn't work out whether she needed to make it a faster shutter speed or a slow, you know, the whole thing just did not seem to work to her. But a good idea, absolutely. And finally, Mark Loader. Now, here you go. All right, Mark. Well, he starts off, well. So you finally remembered us, eh? Or should I say, he's from Perth. He'd say, so you finally remembered us, eh? Right. You've come to your senses, put your loved ones and paying jobs in perspective, and finally got round to sharing the love with us at last. Like a bath in lukewarm custard. The velvet rapier-like wit and stumble-bum charm of Muller and Williams are back to soothe our spirits and frighten the sheep. The photographic world can rest at ease. I, too, have been watching Battlestar Galactica, which, like Shutters Inc., seems to be 50% Canadian. Colonel Ty, Chief, Six, and Hilo are all Canucks. No fracking cannons for these tough guys. So say us all. Anyway, photography. Just took a photo course run by a friend of mine who happily has been working a working pro rather for some years. This meant mates rates So I jumped at it. Good on you, mate. Excellent. Without going into detail, I'll just say that other than buying a DSLR, Nikon, of course, for the discerning man, it is definitely the best thing I've done. The knowledge and confidence it can give you is unique. You can't get this from books and manuals. I even ventured into manual. That's right, the forbidden zone. Funnily enough, the hardest part was telling the models how to pose. I just want to encourage any podcast listeners who haven't yet embarked on a course to do so whenever and wherever made investment. In fact, stop listening to Shelton Rabbit on and sign up right now. Well, I don't know about that, Mark, but I said it because it was in your email. Out there, sharing the love, Mark Loader. P.S. Got a D3X yet? No. Here. Not that it's a, I mean, it's a, just a magnificent camera. Yeah, but I just haven't got a spare 13 odd grand to throw at a D3X. I'm very, very happy with my D700 for the moment. Thank you. Now, let's just talk about this, though. What you've said, Mark, is really interesting, and I would encourage everyone listening to this podcast and all your friends to do exactly what Mark has suggested. Go and do a workshop because the way Mark puts it is interesting. He says the knowledge and confidence it can give you is unique, and that is true because you can't get that kind of learning from books and manuals. Why? Because you're actually there shooting. You're there with someone who can say, ah, this is where you've got it right, or this is where you've got it wrong. Try this, do this on the spot. Now, I've often said on this podcast, Bruce, that I decided not to learn from my mistakes as a photographer, but rather to learn from my successes. And this was something that a good friend of mine told me when I was 16 years old. Because to me, it makes sense that if you take a great picture, you ask yourself, now, what have I done here? Why did this photo turn out so good? And then you repeat that process rather than learning from your mistakes. And you're not going to repeat the process. I would rather repeat a good process and remember that than try and remember a bad process so that I don't have to do it. Doesn't make any sense to me. That is exactly what you do at a workshop. You take photographs, you see the image on the back of your screen and go, what the hell did I just do? Oh, I did this, 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 and this. Wow, I'm going to do that again next time I'm in a similar situation, and I'll always remember the principle of this. So I think absolutely, Mark, you are correct. There's a young fella on our 5minutephotographer.com website who gets into the forum and he says, look, I'm thinking about doing a workshop, but to be honest with you, I think the $200 that I might pay for the workshop is better spent buying a piece of equipment. And then on that thread, everybody answered him and said, yes, but Mikey, why would you spend money on a piece of equipment when perhaps you're not really sure how to use the equipment you have, you know, that you have already? So why not spend the money on a workshop that shows you how to use the equipment you have already? And then you may find that, A, you don't need to buy that extra piece of equipment, or that when you do get around to buying it, you'll know how to use it, you'll know why you've bought it, and indeed, you'll be able to use the equipment that you already have.
It's the whole thing about, you know, catch a fish or, you know, teach a man how to fish.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. And it is so true. So I would suggest that everybody take Mark's advice. A photographer near you is running really good workshops, and you know, you can always tell there's always some testimonial from people who've been on them. Just look at those testimonials and find out what it is they really appreciated about that, and then, you know, go and just attend. I'm running workshops in Melbourne, and of course we are planning to do them across the country. So if you want to ask me, if you're an Australian, where I'll be and what we're doing, you know, let me know. We're planning on running some wedding workshops in Queensland soon, in Kingaroy up near Brisbane, and also in Rockhampton. So if they interest you, let me know. And of course, Camera Action and Croydon Camera House down here in Melbourne are continuously running day workshops that you can attend if you want to come and you know, to any of mine. But either wherever you are in the world, somebody is going to be running a good workshop that you can attend, and they're worth every cent. Usually, you'll know. You know, if they're too expensive, you'll know. But
now,
they are certainly
worth attending. You say to me that you're going to be doing a landscape workshop or something up here in Sydney?
Our house is running some workshops, or like a roadshow. We're going to be hitting every capital city in Australia. But they've been postponed towards the second half of the year.
Oh, okay.
Definitely, Bruce, I'll be keeping you posted because I want you to be there, mate.
Awesome.
And Yeah, they really will be quite cool. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I'll keep you posted on the dates.
Beautiful.
It's interesting, Mark, that you also say the funniest thing or the hardest part was telling the models how to pose. Yes. And let's talk about that another time, because posing, we've talked about that a couple of times, and I am actually going to be putting together a 5-minute tutorial for the website about how to pose models. But a lot of people find that very difficult. I have a model that comes to my workshops named Soph. And she makes it too easy because she's just such a fabulous poser. And there are times that I choose not to use her because I want my people on my workshop to give the models directions. And if the model's doing everything for them, they're not going to learn a darn thing. So I experience models because I want photographers to teach, you know, how to pose the model. And it's interesting you say that. So we're going to have to deal with that in a future podcast. But just to wrap up for today, I just wanted to say to everybody that my mum has joined the family. Yes, she was presented with a Nikon D60 over the previous weekend. And I thought that it would have, it was part of our anniversary celebrations. My parents had their anniversary, and my dad, my son, and myself all chipped in and bought her a Nikon D60.
Nice.
And yeah, and I'll tell you what, we took the ferry from Sorrento, where we were all spending the weekend together as a family, across to Queenscliff. My mum and I walked around Queenscliff together, and I never thought I would see the day when I'd be walking around, the two of us, with an SLR in our hand. And my mum, with an SLR in her hand, suddenly started to see everything. She cool. just started to see the way that light sprayed through picket fences and cast shadows along a footpath.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I got to photograph that. You know, she would see the way that, you know, the late afternoon sun would cast a shadow on one side of the building and not the other side, thus giving a three-dimensional, you know, perspective, a three-dimensional aspect to something that she'd never noticed before. She saw the light in trees and on flowers. She saw the texture in things. Oh, her eyes were just opened. It was like a born-again experience. It was incredible. And she'd never, ever noticed it before. And that is the power. That is the power of walking around with a DSLR in your hand.
Awesome.
And I tell you, I don't know whether it's left her hand since, but she had so much fun just taking photograph after photograph after photograph. I mean, I set the D60 up so that it would basically go on the green. You know, I set it up on the little green camera on the dial and made it all so easy for her so that she could just enjoy taking photographs. But I tell you what, there is something about holding a camera, especially an SLR in your hand, that makes you see things. So I learned a lot just by walking around with her about discovering the joy that is just walking around and seeing stuff. It was great.
Fantastic.
It was a really beautiful experience. If you want to see, I've got a picture of her up on my blog with her D60, taking a picture of a tap in a park. You know, it was just a really wonderful experience. If you want to enjoy photography with somebody you love, buy them something like a D60 or a 1000D Canon or something like that, just as a present, and watch as they learn to see right there and then. It really is quite an incredible experience. And
well, I can tell you now that Kath and I have already talked about, for Max's birthday this year, which is December, he'll be turning 9. We're thinking of buying him, we'll probably get something secondhand, something cheap, you know, but it'll be a digital SLR for his birthday. Because he loves grabbing my 7D, and his photos are getting better all the time. So we figure, it might be time to just get him his own and then, you know, start giving him some tips on how to get a good shot. And
he'll love it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He'll become your second shooter, mate.
That's
You'll take him weddings and all sorts of things. That is fantastic. My son Nathan is, he's come on a couple of workshops with me. The only time that Nathan and I have done photography together is when we've gone away on photography weekends, or when we went and did our Rocky Mountain road together. And it was landscapes, and he did a bit of wildlife, and he thought that was rather adventurous, but landscapes. And like me, he can shoot a landscape. Damn, he can shoot a landscape. But they don't, you know, turn him on as much. And I took him to a people photography workshop, and he loved it, absolutely loved it. And he's really, really getting into it. He wants to buy himself a D90 and get stuck in. For the moment, he's using whatever SLR I'm not using that's in my gadget bag.
Right.
Picking that one, and he's absolutely loving it, you know. So, grab an SLR, give your friend an SLR, buy your mum an SLR, and you'll have a whole new shooting partner to go out with. really is fantastic. Yep.
All right, mate. Well, thank you once again.
No worries. A pleasure. Absolute pleasure. And we'll be back next week, all going to plan.
Absolutely.
We'll be back.
keep those emails coming in, studio@audiotu.com or shelton@audiotu.com. Mm-hmm. And, we look forward to getting more emails from people for different topics. Remember, yes, also, if there is a like a series like Shelton did with the wedding series, if you can think of some other topic of a series of podcasts that we could do, we'd be more than happy to look into that if there's something that you think we could make a series out of.
Yeah. Something that you want some serious detail gone into, we can put that together for you. Absolutely.
All right, mate. Talk with you next week.
You bet, mate. See you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control-D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.